Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
We are champions once again. Woo!
Oh, my.
Woo-hoo! We are champions. That's that song right there. That feels like championship song.
You knew this was coming up. I'm looking at Stephen A. and Jason Williams and Max right now. How would LeBron fare in the MJ era? You knew that question was only a matter of time.
But did you see, though, the video that they were showing Doc, the J throwing haymakers on Larry Bird as he was being held back?
Oh, yeah.
It did. I don't know who that was. Who was that? It wasn't a lot. Was that Olajuwon with Houston that was throwing them haymakers, or was that somebody else?
I remember the Bird fight. I don't remember the Olajuwon fight.
It was somebody, and I don't know if it was 31 or 34. I couldn't really make it out, but somebody was throwing haymakers, boy. That was when the NBA was the NBA.
Mm.
Now is what you want to do.
Yeah, exactly. Stare at each other. Yes, Raj.
Yes, you know, that was when the NBA was the NBA. They're showing all these teams, you know, winners and this and that. And you know what that gets me thinking of a little bit? I still have papers to throw around over here, guys. Don't worry. But, you know, you're talking about all these teams. And, you know, there's only eight teams in the NBA that have won three or more championships. Think about that. It's like, wow, that's not that many. So can you guys name the eight teams that have won three or more NBA championships? Go ahead, Travis. We'll start. No, LZ, we'll start with you since you say you never go first. Go ahead. Is LZ dropped?
I don't know. LZ, maybe he doesn't, right, maybe just doesn't want to go first.
Should we count him as a no?
So you said eight teams with three or more NBA championships?
Yes. I believe LZ dropped his comic, so he will be third. Then. Okay, he's dropped. So that means, Keyshawn, you started off since you did it out there like that.
I'll just throw it Lakers.
The Lakers, that's correct. They are second on this list, but they have won quite a few championships, or second to a certain team there, Travis.
Okay, I'm back.
It's going to count as
we
you missing
it. We skipped over you, so you got to come back around.
So is it my turn?
Go ahead, Trav.
I'll take the Celtics.
The Celtics, of course, have won the most NBA championships. That's right, with 17. So you understand the question, right, LZ?
I'm sorry?
Did you understand the question?
Yes, I understand the question. And the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, the Spurs are on that list. That's correct. You do understand. Now, it's not a snake draft, so you're not going to go twice here. So that means we're going to go back to you, Keyshawn.
Chicago Bulls.
The Chicago Bulls. Six put them third. Doesn't that seem weird? Like, you go from 17 with the Celtics, six to the Lakers, and then, bam, you drop all the way to six to the Bulls. Shows you the dominance of those two teams, Lakers and Bulls. But who's next, Travis?
I will take the Miami Heat.
That's a sneaky one. That's a sneaky one. If you think the two with LeBron, sometimes people forget about the Wade, so they have three. That's right. We're looking for teams with three or more NBA championships to their credit. And according to my records, we've got three more teams. No, I don't think so. We do.
Well, go ahead.
The Detroit Pistons are tied with Miami with three.
Oh, your math is very good. You just carried the one there. That's right. They got two.
I'll jump in front of here before you even finish. The Golden State Warriors.
The Warriors, correct. Oh, you know, you guys are home. I hear typing going on. We got cheaters going on over there.
That would be Travis. He does that a lot.
Nope, I don't cheat. I do a lot of things, but I don't cheat. That's not my deal. It's my turn, right?
It is your turn. And there is one team left.
God, it's one of two.
It might be two. I don't think you guys hit this one team.
This is not my...
You don't even know the damn teams, Raj. Jesus.
I'm going to say Philly.
Is that your final answer?
Well, now I want to say no, but yeah.
No, but you got it. You're all right. Philly's on the list. Philly's on the list. And I think there's one other team. I don't remember if you guys said this or not, but go ahead, LZ. Yeah,
so you don't know if there's a team or not?
Exactly.
No, I do. I'm sure. No, I don't know if you guys said it or not. There is one team left. I don't know
that's
if you
like,
said
you like,
or not.
You like the lady – You like the lady at the grocery store the other day. She, I pulled my basket through the checkout line. She had a basket when they were packing my groceries. I asked her if the basket was clean. She said, "Oh, I think it is." Well, what do you mean you think?
Sounds pretty good to me.
You should have seen my kids.
You guys, so you guys said the Warriors?
Yes.
I took the Warriors. He said the Warriors.
Okay. Then guess what? I think this is only the second time in morning show history that you guys have made it all the way through. Get in the mall. So give yourselves a pat on the back. Nice job. Nice
no
job.
Buffalo Braves, yay! None of that.
The one that I thought might be sneaky, because I knew they won two in the early 70s, but I don't know if they'd gotten that third with the Knicks. Because the Knicks got a couple in the 70s, and I don't know if they had one back years ago.
No, before. They have
I know they haven't won since, but I didn't know if they had one before.
They got 70 and 73, and they never got another.
Can you which believe is why that, though, LZ?
Which is why I cannot understand why in the hell we keep talking about the Knicks like one of the great franchises in the NBA. And they haven't won since none of us was born.
It's New York, baby. It's New York.
But eight
it's
finals
MSG.
Appearances. Eight. Good job, guys.
It's New York. It's the Knicks. It's MSG. It's an extension of L.A. L.A. is an extension of New York. It's just it's all the media, the Snack, Crackle, Pop, the Madison Square Garden. What's your favorite venue? Madison Square Garden. Where do you like to perform at? Madison Square Garden. I mean, that's just – you know, walking down, holding on to the rails, you know, the handrails as you get to the bottom floor where the seating is all messed up. I mean, it's MSG. That's what it is.
You know how you always say you weren't born then? You literally were not born when the last time they won a championship.
Oh, I know. I understand. I get it. But I also understand the city, the magnitude of why we always throw them out there, even though they ain't worth nothing. The same thing the Dallas Cowboys. You're always talking about them. Because it was always indoctrinated in our brains for many years that that's America's team, and so we talk about the
Cowboys. Yeah, but the Cowboys were good. The Cowboys won Super Bowls in the 70s.
The Knicks were good when our grandmothers were born too.
But the Cowboys throughout the entire 70s were good. Through most of the 80s were good. Through the 90s they were the best team in football. They had 30 years of being really good.
But the Knicks were good too, though, and it's New York. And it's
and the
York.
Knicks. Other than a few Patrick Ewing runs in that thing, the Knicks have been at best mediocre and oftentimes.
No, I'm not
terrible.
I'm not talking about since we've been born. I'm just talking about just historically. It's like the Giants, the New York Giants. Man, they were good with LT, and they were good with like Frank Gifford, and they were good prior when they played in the Polo Grounds or whatever that is. It probably was good back then, but. The New York Giants are going to always resonate because it's New York, it's the Giants, they've won enough Super Bowls, and it's New York. And so New York is always going to push things up. You know that. It's New York. What are you going to – I mean, it's just – that's what it is. You can like it or love it depending on what you feel about it. But I tell you what, that young lady at the grocery store, though, that was some funny stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to go pick a different one or carry my groceries in my arms. At that
no, but
point.
But the funny thing about it, though, LZ, is, you know, once you pull in your own, you take your food out, you put it on the little conveyor belt, you push your basket to the front, and by the time I pushed my basket, she was loading in another basket. So I had to ask her. And I said, "Is this clean?" And she gives me, "I think so." You think? Don't you should know you bringing me this basket that I didn't ask for. But anyway,
listen, there's a lot going on in that area, and that's all I'm going to say about that. I carry my spray with me. Put it this way.
All right. So the Last Dance episodes, what would it be? 5 and 6 are coming up on Sunday. You can see them at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. You can stream 1 through 4 on the ESPN app, ESPN on demand right now. The Dennis Rodman takeaway was part one of this most recent weekend. And the other part away was the rivalry and the downright hatred that Michael Jordan has for Isaiah Thomas. Let's go back. Let's start with Michael and hear Michael talk about Isaiah. This is 20 plus years later after the fact.
This is Isaiah talking about the walk-off.
Well, I know it's all bull. Whatever he says now, you know it wasn't his true actions then. You know, it's time enough to think about it. Or the reaction of the public that's kind of changed his perspective of it. Yeah. You can show me anything you want. There's no way you can convince me he wasn't an ass.
Okay, that's still incredibly raw after 20 plus years. Isaiah, let's listen to him right now. Here's Isaiah talking about the decision not to shake hands.
And I think Jordan said something that was interesting in that take. He said, well, given time, you know, he's you know, he may have a different opinion. And of course, in that moment when we had lost, and remember, we were champions. So we were coming down from the throne. They were ascending to the throne. And everybody's emotions are different during that particular time. While we were coming down and they were rising, during that emotional period of time, did we do everything correctly? No. Did they do everything correctly? No. But that was it. You know, we walked off. We didn't shake their hands. And, you know, there's a, if you want to contextualize it, there's a lot of other stuff that was going on around that situation. But, you know, that's what happened.
Okay, so Michael is, I don't care what that guy has to say. You've got Isaiah Thomas saying, look, it's a long time ago. Of course I feel differently about it. And then lastly, we've got Bill Laimbeer, who just didn't give a damn then and doesn't give a damn now.
They whined and cried for a year and a half about how bad we were for the game. But more importantly, they were bad people. We weren't bad people. We were just basketball players winning. So all that whining they did, why shake their hand? They were just whiners. They won the series. Give them credit. We got old. They got past us. But, okay, move on. Why would I regret now today? I don't care what the media says about them. I never did. If I did, I'd be a basket case, especially back then. You know, I was about winning basketball games and winning championships and did whatever I had to do to get the most out of my ability and our team. And we did. At the end of the day, we're called world champions.
Bill Laimbeer, 20 plus years later, is like, yeah, whatever. I did it. I don't care. If Michael's upset, I can live with that. That seems like a much healthier way to go about this.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Bill Laimbeer feels the way he feels. Isaiah feels the way he feels. Michael feels the way he feels. Michael doesn't have to befriend them, and they don't have to shake his hand and succumb to him or feel a certain type of way because he feels a certain type of way. And that's perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with what Bill Laimbeer said. It's like, okay, get over it. It's over with. I'm not wasting my time thinking about the Chicago Bulls. And that's perfectly okay for Bill Laimbeer. Clearly, Isaiah Thomas is still feeling a certain way about the way Michael handled the situation and how Michael dealt with it whether it was, freezing him out at the All-Star, at the Olympics and making sure that he wasn't in and others were, or whether it was whatever you want to call it, Michael feels a certain way, and he's entitled to that, and vice versa for those other two guys.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, Bill Laimbeer has been blackballed out of the NBA. He hasn't had an opportunity to be neither assistant nor head coach. He's had a lot of success in the WNBA, but he's in his place in his life where it doesn't have any benefit for him to even reconsider what happened 30-some years ago. Isaiah Thomas obviously is in a different place. He's held a multitude of different positions throughout the league. He's on NBA TV today. So it's more important for him, especially since Jordan called him out personally, so it's more important for him and what he wants to do to make sure that as much context and the dynamic is out there as possible. Well, Bill Laimbeer's resolved to the fact that he's not going to be back in the league and that he's not viewed as someone that people want to hear from or take direction from, despite being a great player in his prime.
So you think he's blackballed from the NBA?
Why hasn't Bill Laimbeer gotten an assistant or head coaching job?
Well, maybe because people who are doing the hiring don't feel he's a good coach or something. I'm just asking. I mean, a lot of guys.
No, it's because he's universally viewed as a bad guy and as, you know, as Michael Jordan said, the same thing that he said about Isaiah Thomas, that's how a lot of people feel about Bill Laimbeer.
But very quickly, is he a bad guy because he was a rough player, or he's a bad guy because he's a bad guy?
I don't know Bill like that, so I can't tell you if he's a bad guy or not. But what I do know is that the perception of him is that he wasn't just giving hard fouls. He was giving hard fouls because he was also a bad guy. It's the perception that I've gotten over the years of people who competed against them.
The WNBA and the NBA is aligned, right? I mean, they're together. So if he's coaching in the WNBA, why couldn't he get a job if they felt he was worthy of it in the NBA?
Nobody wants to hire him.
Question for NBA execs, I guess.
I mean, think about it. Think about all the guys that played in the NBA that have gone on to do some sort of coaching in the WNBA. They still get a sniff of the NBA. they still get a sniff. Right. Bill Laimbeer, as far as I know, has never gotten a sniff from the NBA.
USC had two players taken in the NFL draft. Not in the first round, two players total. What's going on at SC? That's next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. You know, Key, that conquest right there usually made me feel a certain way, and now it just makes me shake my head. How in the world does a program like USC have two guys drafted in the entire seven rounds of the NFL draft? Two guys. You had first-rounder Austin Jackson. You had second-rounder Michael Pittman. But beyond that, USC used to put, you know, 5, 8, 10 guys a year into the NFL. Two?
Yeah, it's a tough, tall task to understand why this has happened to the program. But I go back to coaching, and not only coaching, developing. And I can only go back to what I know is when John Robinson went to the NFL and came back to USC, and one of the first things that he said to me in the whole recruiting process is that I'm going to get you, you're going to be all right, and you're going to be the number one pick in the draft as a receiver, something that he had never done with a wide receiver. It was always running backs, things of that nature that touched the football. But he developed me. And he allowed Mike Riley to develop me, and Mike Sanford and Delvon Alexander to develop me and teach me how to play the game from a pro standpoint, where you look at the USC guys now, they're not developing them. It's not that the guys can't play football. They know how to play, but they're not developing them to the level in which teams feel like, okay, these guys can help us play. All those guys that are on those teams, they're recruited by everybody in the country. But once they get to USC, they're undeveloped.
Is this as much the assistant's fault as it is Clay Helton's, that he's,
well,
he's hiring
the reason you say the reason you say Clay Helton is because Clay Helton's in charge.
Right.
But it's the assistants that Clay Helton hired that doesn't develop the players.
I know, Key, that you put this on Clay Helton, and I get what you're saying. But to me, this seems like an administrative issue, at least equally, because Clay Helton – is what
but administrative,
is.
Though, Chris, oh, Chris Travis, the administrators have nothing to do with being coached on the field and coaching in the classroom. Nothing to do with that.
No, I understand that. I'm not saying that Mike Bone should come out of his office and tell a guy how to get into a three-point stance. That's not what I'm suggesting.
That would be funny.
What I'm suggesting is Mike Bone and then his predecessor, the guy that was there before him, they know, hey, we're not winning a whole bunch of games. Why are we not winning? Hey, we're recruiting the same guys Alabama's recruiting, yet Alabama's putting a bunch of guys in the NFL and we're not. Hey, this guy here was a five-star guy and he didn't get picked, where that guy over there was a five-star guy and he was taken in the first round. I don't need to know how to teach a guy how to run a route to be able to add and subtract.
But Mike Bone just got there too now. And when you look at Mike Bone's other stops, Colorado, San Diego State, I think it was Cincinnati. It may have had a couple other stops along the way. But what programs have he turned around or been a part of that has historical to the point where USC has been?
No, I get that. But, Key, at the same time, Mike Bone lives in the world of college athletics. You don't even have to be a sports fan to know that USC football means
something.
We
think he lives in the world of college football and sports because he's an athletic director. He may be so oblivious to what's going on, you wouldn't even know.
You're telling me that there's a possibility that the guy that's the athletic director at USC does not even have a cursory understanding of the tradition that goes along with the USC football program. That's really hard to believe.
He kept a coach that everybody wanted out. You tell me. He walked in. He walked in and kept a coach that everybody wanted out. Not only that, how many of the great Trojan players have he reached out to since he's been the athletic director? I really would want to know that. I really want to know that.
Different those are two.
But it's really not, because anybody in their right mind that's taken over a program knows who to talk to. You automatically know who to talk to. I could give you a perfect example. No, hold on 1 second, LZ. I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay.
I ran a 7-on-7 football program in L.A. for a number of years. Willie Taggart took the job at the University of Oregon. Had nothing to do with L.A., SC, nothing. But he wanted to recruit L.A. Willie Taggart reached out. He reached out. and said, man, how can I get some of these dudes up here to Oregon? He reached out because he wants to be connected to the right people to help him do what he needs to do. Well, when you got an athletic director who comes to town who doesn't reach out to a number of people that played at SC at a high level, and you kind of stay away, talk to them, leave them alone, that's not the way you do things. That tells me you're not connected the way you need to be about the tradition of SC in the program.
I agree with that, but I don't think that necessarily means he doesn't understand football or that he doesn't understand culture. He may not necessarily be doing it the smartest of ways, but I'm not going to dismiss his entire career because I don't know what his brand of leadership is. The way that some people choose to lead might be different the way that other people choose to lead. We see it in all kinds of variety ways of life. I'm not willing yet to say he doesn't understand collegiate football because he's not reaching out to alums the way that he should be or the way that I would if I were in his position.
I just can't fathom a guy at Alabama who's the athletic director moving needle. I can't look at Arizona State and Herm Edwards and Ray Anderson and Scotty Graham as ignoring the things that are important. That's just the way that I see it.
But go back to what you said about Alabama for a second, Keith. Alabama would never, ever hire an athletic director that didn't understand what Alabama football is about.
That's all I'm saying.
But this is my point. The whole idea of where the program is, it's Clay Helton obviously has a great deal of responsibility for what this is. But so does the athletic director, and so do the people that hired the athletic director. That USC, if you were telling me 10 years ago, make a list of the schools that care the most about their college football program, SC would have absolutely positively been on that list and near the top. And right now, with all the things we're talking about, whether it's Clay Helton, whether it's the assistants, whether it's the administrator, whether it's the board at USC that hires all of these people, they've made it as clear as day. We don't care about this the way that we used to because we hired an athletic director that doesn't get it, who let the coach stay, who doesn't get it, who's recruiting the players that aren't going to the NFL. There's nobody there that says, we are USC, for God's sakes. What are we doing here? Where's that person?
Well, they don't communicate with those people. Let's just say that. Let's say that they got their own way of doing things, and until they start to listen and stop being hard headed, you're gonna keep seeing guys that are, you know, two guys, one guy here, a couple free agents there. You're not gonna see that dominance like a LSU that got 14, 15 guys drafted, or the Alabamas or the Oklahomas. You know, until they start to listen, that's what's gonna happen. Hard as my, as my mom used to once tell me, and I'm sure your mom told you that, LZ.
Hard head make a soft behind.
There you go. There you go. Or you don't think fat meat greasy, huh?
You ever heard that one, Travis? No, I haven't heard either one of those.
Is that right?
That's what she was sleeping on. Really? I'm very, very disappointed in my mother at this point.
Oh, man. I got to get Bob on this one.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll be back with more on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
The NFL schedule is typically going to be released right around that first week of May, and it is still expected to be released at that point. But according to a story in the New York Post, the schedule makers are in the process of coming up with some alternate versions, including one key that has the Super Bowl moving back to February 28th, the season starting maybe about a month later than it typically does, no bye weeks, no Pro Bowls. And I think this is just going to be standard operating procedure for all of these leagues, at least in the short term, that the schedule that we've known for years and years and years is kind of out the window.
Wow, that weather in Tampa, February, going to be perfect.
Nice, right?
God, it's going to be perfect. Then you can go right from the NFC Championship, AFC Championship game, roll right into the Super Bowl. I'm all for it if that's what happens. I don't like the week in between. And I think if you had to push it off a month or so from the start of the season, that makes sense. It gives everybody an opportunity to get on even ground. It gives them an opportunity to maybe have some sort of mini camps before training camps, some sort of OTAs before actual training camp. So I don't think it gets into the way of anything. The television people have to go to work and figure out how to schedule everything, because you're going to essentially cram in 8-9 months of sports into 4 or 5 months. And that's what's going to happen with basketball, baseball, football, hockey, all potentially coming back sort of kind of at the same time, which is going to be great. That means that you won't have to worry about being, feeling a certain way. You know how you go through that period where you got all the basketball. As soon as the NBA season is over, you're like, man, I got the summer and we ain't doing nothing.
Just baseball.
Baseball. And it's like, well, you only want to watch certain baseball games, and that's pretty much it. And then you get into football season where now it looks, sounds like everything is going to be every single day. You're going to have something on your television.
As long as the Super Bowl still happens during Black History Month, I'm good. February 28th is getting a little close to the end. Well, I'm just saying, it's getting a little bit close to the end. But as long as you're still within the parameters of February, I'm good.
And part of it is Black quarterback got to be in it too, huh?
Well, it's Patrick Mahomes going to be back, so we're fine. We're fine in that regard. I have a feeling he's going to be there every season for the foreseeable future. I do not see a ton of soft spots on that team right now.
I don't need a Black quarterback. I just need to make sure that the NBA has that little Black History Month programming happening right around the time of the Super Bowl. I always like those little vignettes they would do.
Yeah, Keith, go back to what you said a second ago. It really is going to be nuts. I'm just picking a date out of thin air. Let's say everything comes back online July 4th, okay? You're going to have baseball with a compacted schedule. You're going to have NFL training camps that are going to be just about up and running. You're going to have the conclusion of an NBA season. You're going to have the Stanley Cup playoffs. You're going to have all of the golf events that have been postponed going on. You're going to try to shoehorn in a tennis U.S. Open. You're going to have all of these different things coming up. The Masters is going to be played in November. You've got, just like you were saying, a short amount of time. It's not just that, the Dodgers are playing the Rockies this night. There's going to be the Masters on the same weekend that there's something else major going on. It's just everything all at once. We look forward to the calendar of the sports year being, okay, there's this major event, and then we got this major event. There's going to be one every weekend for the foreseeable future once we come back online.
With or without fans, I think it's going to be good regardless, but I certainly would like to have fans in attendance, because that means that workers will be working, people will be making money, they'll be able to afford to pay their rents in car notes and mortgages or whatever the case may be, insurances or whatnot. The economy will start to kind of maybe get back into some sort of good shape. That's kind of what you want to see. You want to see those sort of things. Now, again, as I said before, maybe there's without fans for a short period of time, or maybe all of a sudden there's fans that are at a limited pace. I saw so funny. I don't know if y'all saw the same thing I saw, but I saw, I think it was the Japanese league. They had cardboard cutouts that were in the stands, but yeah, they also had cheerleaders at the game. It was the funniest thing ever. It was hilarious to just see. I'm like, why do they have cardboard cutouts in the stands?
Because it looks weird to see the stadium empty. That's why, right?
It's a cheer – and cheerleaders cheering to cardboard cutouts.
To cardboard cutouts. Hey, it's weird. It's weird. But you know what? Everything about 2020 from January on has been weird. So I'm like, just go for it. Let's just go have a year of weirdness, and a lot of things that aren't going to be right is going to be right. They're thinking about having the U.S. Open – in tennis, which is played in New York, in California, just to get the open in, because you can still host the event in Indian Wells. That's going to feel all weird. But let me ask you this, though. As long as you have something.
LZ, why would they have it in California opposed to New York in July or August?
Well, I think there are a couple of things at play. One, we know the numbers in New York City. Okay. Two, we also know that the transportation situation in New York is very, very, shall we say, social distancing resistant. You can't just dense. when you get to the U.S. Open facility, there's a stop right there, and there's tons of people to come off.
They still feel like it's going to be under heavy duress that they can't take that chance. And because Palm Springs is out in the open a little bit, they can manage that a little bit more.
That's one of the conversations they're having.
So everything's
going to be weird, is my point.
But you know what? For a while, and then we'll get back to either normal or whatever the new version of that might be. But I'm here for it. You know what I mean? If you want to give me everything that we missed over the last, you know, I guess it's been a month and change right now. And by the time we're back online, say it'll be a couple of months plus. If you want to take all that stuff and just jam it in the back half of the calendar, great. Let's do it. I don't care. I want to see the U.S. Open. I want to see the Masters. I want to see all of these things that we didn't get to see on schedule, off of schedule. I don't care if it's in a different part of the calendar. Just do it.
Exactly. Yeah, just do absolutely. It and get it done.
Because the dates were arbitrary anyway. The ones that they said we're used to were arbitrarily set anyway. There are very few sporting events that are set up based upon something that isn't just random.
Yes, there is some absolutely. There's some arbitrary nature to it, but a lot of it with some of these sports is weather too. That we do right. certain things at certain times in certain places because of weather. And oh, here's the other thing too. And you mentioned Keith, TV, right? That we need certain things on at certain points because hey, I have an opportunity to grab as many TV viewers as I can here because I'm the only show in town, or I'm one of only two shows in town, whereas everybody is going to be competing for those same eyeballs come the back half of this 2020 year.
Well, not really, because they're gonna schedule it as such. There's so many different platforms they can put sport venues on. I'm sure within these television contracts, they can move from ESPN to ESPN2 to ABC to ESPN3 to social media. I mean, I'm sure there's ways and within the contracts that says, as long as we put it on, we can put it on any of our platforms.
Oh, for sure. No, I'm not talking about an opportunity for where to put it. What I'm talking about is this situation. Let's say the Masters is, and right now it's scheduled to be played in November, and we all know that the Masters is played on the weekend, right? That you have the final round of the Masters, and Tiger Woods is competing for another title at the very same time you have a high-level NFL game going on that very same Sunday. Those things typically do not overlap. You do not have the Masters competing with the NFL. There'll be channels to put all this stuff on. It's just a matter of us. Like, what are the Masters going to do?
Maybe the Masters decide to do it on a weekday. Or maybe the NFL decide that we're going to do games, or instead of Sunday, we'll do them on Friday nights or something because there's not going to be high school football. I don't know. Like you said, though, it's going to be a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
There's no question about that. I don't care when they play, what days they play, what time they play. Just play.
Just play. It's coming. It is absolutely coming. Sooner than later, it looks like, too. Indeed, it is time for Crosstalk. George Sinano checking in. George, how are things today for you?
Things are good. Gentlemen, how are you?
Yeah, we're doing great. There,
oh, thank you, Key. It's great to hear from you again. I don't know if you're always going to be there, but I'm glad you're there today.
Yeah. He's here. He is here today. Hey, George.
What happened?
Go ahead, Key.
No, I was going to say that is very true. You don't know when I'm going to be here.
Well, I like it that way. I kind of like it's just like an extra surprise. I always love talking to Travis and Elzipa when you're here. It makes me perks me up a little bit.
Put it this way. I count the minutes.
Yeah, we know. We're well aware. George, are you surprised that we're four episodes into The Last Dance and we haven't heard a peep from Tony Kukoc yet?
You're not the first person to bring that up. My understanding is that we will start to see him when they start doing the Dream Team stuff.
Say it again.
That we'll start to see him when they do the Dream Team stuff.
Oh, okay. I just want to clarify that.
Yeah.
You're too much, man.
No, I'm not. You and your little buddy over there, LZ, is, oh, Tony Kukoc is not there. Not Tony Kukoc.
No. Hold on. If you're going to do this, you at least need to be half right. You need to at least
individual awards and whatever. Tony Kukoc, he hit the big shot, not Pippen.
Why did you make him Italian, by the way? He's Yugoslavian.
The point was is that every other guy that's been a part of this Bulls dynasty has shown up. Even guys that had fairly small roles, guys like, you know, Bill Wennington and guys like Will Perdue and Judd Bushler, who are not main players in this. We've seen little snippets of them through the first four, and nada for Kukoc.
But we didn't see Horace Grant until this past weekend. So we didn't see him in the first weekend, and he won three championships, you know? So, I mean, I think they're just developing the story. Yeah. They're developing the story. We'll see Kobe this weekend.
Oh, because
that'll be nice.
Yeah, it's going to be. I mean, it's in the commercials, like that they're running right now.
What is it though? Is it the Dream Team?
I think it's his first Kobe's first All-Star game against Jordan. Yeah, I want to say it was that.
I wonder if they had a chance to interview, because they obviously interview so many people. If they had a chance to interview Kobe prior to,
they did. It was a week before actually the passing. That's how it was relayed to me.
Okay, well that's good.
Yeah,
but it's. I was going to say that the last two episodes was pretty. The Worm is my favorite.
Oh,
I love
God.
You.
Oh my God.
The Worm. The Worm, George. Gosh, man, that dude. Ooh.
Did you ever hang with him, Key?
I never hung. I kind of always whenever I see him, we speak.
Yeah.
And having long conversations, because he can get a little long winded. Because most of the time, I think he's feeling good.
Yeah.
And so it goes into, man, you got to be yourself and don't let people tell you what to be. And, it was one of those type conversations.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm looking at him. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to take your advice for sure.
Life advice from the Worm. Are you surprised, George, that we're 24 years past the Eastern Conference Finals that we've been talking about for the last couple of days that both – Michael and Isaiah still have such strong feelings about that and the refusal to shake hands?
Oh, no. I'm not surprised. And I'm sure LZ isn't surprised either. I mean, first of all, you're talking about two of the most competitive, stubborn dudes you'll ever come across, right? Like, they can be very warm and fuzzy when they want to be, but more times than not, they're killers for a reason. And we forget that Isaiah Thomas is the only guy really to beat Jordan, Bird, and Magic in their primes. Like, I don't feel like he gets enough due. Look, I'm not the biggest Pistons guy or Isaiah Thomas guy even, but he deserves a lot of credit. And by the way, I do think that Jordan has dragged this handshake thing out maybe a little too long, okay? Like we get it. You weren't happy about it. LeBron did that with Dwight, and we made a big deal about it for 5 minutes. Like, this feels like it's been 20, 30 years. Like,
but
enough.
See, I don't think it's just a handshake.
Oh, they didn't like each other. Yeah,
they tried to kill him literally.
Yeah,
and so as an athlete, when someone is trying to ruin you in your career, you don't take light of that and just dismiss it because you don't play the game anymore. I'm gonna always remember that dude, like the Gunther Cunningham, defensive coordinator at the time for the Kansas City Chiefs. He wanted my head. He wanted my head. He put a bounty out on my. I'll never, ever respect him ever when I see him.
Oh.
If he's even still alive. I don't even know if he's still
alive.
No,
he is still alive. Isn't he like a defensive coordinator somewhere right now?
Why did he put a price on your head, Key?
Because he just didn't like me. I was coming into the league too brash.
Oh. Throw me the damn ball.
Yeah, exactly. So he felt that that's what he was going to send a little message to me.
Oh. Gunther Cunningham died last year in May.
No, really?
Rest in peace.
Wow.
Rest in peace, but still.
Are you gonna make amends with him now that he's gone? He's no longer with us.
Would you want me to go send a
condolence read?
Bouquet of flowers or something?
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Key can't harbor ill will if the man's gone. Like, you might as well let it bygones be bygones at this point.
Yeah, I don't even think about it like that, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. But if I was to ever play against him, then yeah, it's like Jeff Ireland, assistant general manager from the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah,
they ain't one of my favorite personnel people in the NFL.
Des Bryant stuff. Yeah,
I don't like him because he said something about me.
Oh, he said about you?
Yeah, he said something about me and didn't think it was going to get back to me. So I never ever speak to him when I see him.
What'd he say?
He
called me a progress stopper.
As a player?
Yeah.
Huh.
As a people?
As a player. He called me a progress stopper.
When he was in Dallas and you were in Dallas.
Yeah, he called, I don't know why we signed him. He's a progress stopper. Our other guys aren't going to ever play in front of him, and they're just going to keep playing. Oh, okay. All right. Oh. How did that work out for you in Miami?
Not well.
A progress stopper-free Sedano show is coming up next. We'll see you here
Sedano
at 6 o'clock
show.
Tomorrow morning. On
listen to the Sedano show.